Anchored is a production of the Classic Learning Test based in Annapolis, Maryland, reconnecting knowledge and virtue. Visit us at cltexam.com. Hello, welcome back to the CLT offices. We're glad you're here. Today, we're excited to have Rosemary Vanderweel, principal of Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Classical School in Denver. If this is your first time joining us, I'd like to take a little bit of time to explain what Anchored is. This is a program where our CEO, Jeremy Tate, engages in conversations with leading thinkers on topics at the intersection of education and culture. As always, we at CLT greatly appreciate your feedback, so please rate and review this episode and send any questions or comments to anchored@cltexam.com. Now, without further ado, let's get on to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Anchored Podcast, the official podcast of the Classic Learning Test. We're here today with Ms. Rosemary Vanderweel, principal of Lourdes Classical in Denver, Colorado. Rosemary, thanks so much for being with us.
Certainly, my pleasure.
So I'm thrilled to chat. I'd love to start off and learn a bit about your early education. Did you grow up going to Catholic schools? And did you love learning at that time, or did that come later?
Great question. I am a product of Catholic education, although we were in and out in my childhood, just because my parents were very committed to authentically Catholic education. And so when they saw that not happening, we would leave the school. So I was in Catholic school through eighth grade, and then I went to a public high school, which was a bit of a cold water in the face, so to say. And also, the agenda even back then was pretty hard for me to swallow. The progressive agenda. So I did not last long in high school. I made it through my sophomore year before I butted heads with my biology teacher about a Planned Parenthood presentation. So then I actually started college my junior year of high school, and through a course of a lot of events, graduated high school and had my freshman year of college done in my junior year of high school. And so I started as a sophomore in college, what would have been my senior year of high school.
Wow. And then where did you do your undergrad?
Franciscan.
Oh, fantastic. Wonderful.
Yep. And I would say to the second part of your question, as far as a love for learning, I always loved to read. I did not love the school system. I knew how to get good grades, but I wasn't like a super student. I knew how to work the system and get good grades, but I didn't love learning. I love to read.
Now, during your time at Franciscan, did you see yourself going into Catholic education?
Yeah, I knew from when I was a young girl that I wanted to be a Catholic school teacher. Not sure why, other than the Lord put that on my heart. I went to Franciscan as a double major of literature and secondary ed. And then throughout the kind of my understanding of what the education courses were, I decided I didn't want to spend that much time and money in the education field. So I just switched to being a literature major. And then I knew I would come back to Denver and figure out how to teach just without the education degree.
Yeah. And tell us about this journey from teaching to administration. Was that one you anticipated, or did it kind of happen organically?
Did not anticipate that at all. I often describe my journey to administration as it was really a disenchantment of Catholic education. And I think I complained loudly enough that the Holy Spirit arranged people in my life to just say, like, quit complaining and figure out how to be part of the solution. I was actually ready to leave education altogether just because I was very, like I said, disenchanted with trying to teach the faith in a modern paradigm, in modern philosophy of education, and seeing year after year that it was producing very little fruit, that the students were leaving not only not knowing their faith, but not practicing, not wanting anything to do with it. So I wanted, I just was really disenchanted and thought, this is not good. The Catholic schools are failing right now in their mission. So why am I working, you know, for barely above poverty line income to promote this mission that is not doing well? So I was about ready to leave, and I was a graduate student at the Augustine Institute, and just through a series of very critical players, Bishop Conley, Dr. Jared Stout, my mentors at the Augustine Institute, Dr. Gray, rather than leave education, everyone was kind of pulling me in this direction, like, step into leadership and do it well, quit complaining and be part of the solution. So that's, I didn't think I would get hired as a 27-year-old Catholic school principal, but the wow. Lord knew I would.
Wow. That is very young to be head of school. Okay. So tell us about Lourdes in particular, the history of the school. It's known now. I mean, I've heard it referenced as kind of a model of thriving classical Catholic school that's immersed in this tradition. But it wasn't always thriving. Can you give us a sense of the history of the school?
Sure. Yeah. So I was hired in 2011 as like the last ditch effort for what could be done to this school before closing its doors. It's in a radius of probably five other Catholic schools within 5 miles. So the enrollment across the board was suffering, and Lourdes only had 90 students at the time I took over in June of 2011. And the pastor at the time, Monsignor Kwong, is incredibly passionate about Catholic education. It was incredibly formative in his life. So he asked the Archbishop, give me one more year. I'll change leadership. We'll do something different. I don't want to close the doors yet. He put a lot of his own blood, sweat, and tears into keeping this place open. So that's why I was hired, was to save this school, you know, not me, the Holy Spirit. But when I interviewed with Monsignor Kwong, I just presented my idea of renewing a Catholic school, and really prior, you know, even more important than it being classical or anything like that, just making it authentically Catholic. And that's really what I was inspired to do, was really have a school that is authentically Catholic and where kids are immersed in their faith and loving it and having it be part of the very air they breathe and not just this fragmented class on the side, you know. So that led me to classical education, and the two, you know, are married beautifully within that pedagogy. But starting at Lourdes was really the mission to get enrollment, to attract families that traditionally have not entrusted Catholic schools, and try to really be a beacon of hope in Catholicism. And it worked. We went from 90 kids the first year to 135. And then each year just kept growing and growing and really attracting families that sought this mission and wanted to be part of this culture. And the beautiful thing is they have, you know, four or five or six kids. So pretty soon our pipelines were filled, you know, kindergarten and preschool were filled with siblings. And so we went from not having enough enrollment to not having enough space, because we had these siblings that were filling up our kindergarten. So then, thanks be to God, we were able to open a South Campus in 2017, I believe. And now we have two campuses that are growing, and we're able to serve as many families as possible for this mission.
What is total enrollment now?
This year we're just under 350 we're at 290 this year. Next year we're just about at 350.
Rosemary, that is an incredible story. I mean, there's a hunger for this kind of education. Parents want the genuine article. They don't want a public school with a statue of Mary. They want the fullness of this tradition that has shaped countless generations before them. I'm wondering, when you're 27, you're looking at trying to save this school, were you looking at some models, maybe St. Jerome's, or I think of Sacred Heart in Grand Rapids, where you could kind of tour and see how this has been done in the past?
Yeah, both schools I relied heavily on. I think Sacred Heart came a little later for me. St. Jerome's, they were a year ahead of us in this process. So Mary Pat and I became fast friends. And I think I really consider her like my counselor that first couple years, because I would call her so often. And she had already lived through the first year. So she guided me through what was otherwise a pretty lonely journey back then. Catholic schools now, thanks be to God, have experienced this resurgence a lot more than 10 years ago. But Mary Pat and I spoke a lot, and her guidance and just knowing that I didn't have to reinvent the wheel, that this has already been done. It's been done for hundreds of years. Like you said, we just need to like kind of unearth it and start doing it. So, yeah.
I'm curious to hear where you're finding teachers. I mean, so many of the ed programs, they, you know, young people ingest a bunch of bad ideas and then they go into the classroom. And where are you finding teachers that can come in and be ready on day one?
Teachers find me. We have a strong enough reputation now that we get quite a few applicants. People really want to work somewhere where they see authentic mission, a mission that is living with integrity and really not compromising as much as possible. So a lot of my teachers come from, you know, Hillsdale, University of Dallas, Benedictine, Wyoming Catholic, just the Thomas Aquinas. I'm sure there's more. Typically, and we do have to post a few jobs. It's not like we just have a steady stream. But I look for teachers typically who don't have an education degree. And if they do, I'm happy to talk with them, but just kind of gauging where they're at as far as how their philosophy of education, if it can be wedded to what we're doing here or not, that's a pretty big deal. The thing is, not all education courses are bad. You know, it's good to know classroom management. There are good practical things. Yeah. The problem is so many education degrees have really stripped away the fundamental human element of formation. And it has made it so much about a data-driven teacher that it's hard to like enliven their creativity and their own intellectual pursuit again. So it's not impossible. I have great teachers who have teaching degrees, but I prefer people who have, you know, we have a lot more applicants, I guess is the best way to say it, of non-teaching degrees, people who have just experienced the riches of a classical liberal arts education and want to pass that on to kids. And then we follow up with, you know, classroom management and kind of the practical tips that are good for teachers to know, but in a way that has not robbed them of the depth of their own degree and their own, the nobility of teaching, really.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of what you're doing. We have one of our five Karis at Divine Mercy Academy in Severna Park, which I think has looked to Lord's Classical and has looked to St. Jerome's and some of the others to launch. And these stories are super encouraging. But I'm wondering, I mean, are we also just barely scratching the surface? Are you optimistic that there's going to be a seismic shift, a seismic recovery of authentic Catholic education in America? Is there reason to be hopeful? There's so many Catholic schools out there, and it seems like the large majority is pretty divorced from Catholic education as historically practiced and understood.
Yeah, there's always room to hope. I think Denver is I'm so grateful for our leadership in Denver because they are incredibly supportive, and just seeing the renewal that has happened at Lourdes has helped kind of inspire and, you know, people take notice and say, what are you doing right? Because we're dumping millions into technology and millions into this and all these silver bullet programs, and we're not attracting more families. So I am encouraged that a renewal is happening nationwide. I think like Pope Benedict said, it might not be as big, you know, the remnant might be a little smaller. I don't think every single Catholic school is going to jump on board with this, but I think there's as our society continues to just, the chasm is so wide between how families are trying to live good, holy lives and what the society is presenting, the schools that are doing this renewal are going to see a surge in enrollment. I don't think parents, it seems to me that the schools that are growing in enrollment are ones that are really faithfully Catholic. The ones that are middle of the road or, you know, riding the fence, the proposition value is not there. People aren't investing in it. So I'm encouraged. I don't think it's going to be like huge, but I don't think that's how Christ works anyway. He works small. He works in relational ways. And then that's the culture that will, these generation of leaders will be what brings in the renewal of the culture in their time.
Yeah. You know, where we're at here in Annapolis, there's two. There's a Chesterton Academy that's launched and is really growing and thriving in addition to Divine Mercy, which is a K-8. But it was interesting going to Mass one morning, and all of the Chesterton students go to Mass every morning, and actually talking to some much older people, typical daily Mass goers, and they were so encouraged by the presence of these young people at Mass. Well, what has it been like on the church community to have a school that has re-embraced the fullness of the church and its in her tradition?
It's similar. I mean, yeah, I think, and we have, thanks be to God, a great pastor, Father Brian, who has like brought life, and so the parish is also thriving, which helps, you know, just the general community, that this is a place where the faith is alive, both in the parish and the school. And I think it is very, like you said, very encouraging to older generations to see kids at Mass responding, you know, really engaging in their faith and not just stepping out and doing it because they have to. You know, you always run the risk of being very pharisaical. You know, we don't go to Mass because we have to. We get to go to Mass because we get to. And when that culture is right, it's a very beautiful, healthy thing.
That's beautiful. So you referenced earlier, and this is always a favorite question here at the Anchor Podcast. We actually have a lot of young college students and even high school students listening. You referenced kind of loving books, but not necessarily your own experience of school at the time. I'm wondering if there's maybe one or two books that you come back to every year that have been particularly formative and impactful for you.
Yeah. In fact, I'm just rereading a classic favorite of mine, Beauty and the Word, by Stratford Caldicott.
Okay.
It just presents the beauty of what this mission is in Catholic education. So that's one I highly recommend. We have read it as a staff, you know, throughout the years for professional development. And it's just so good to reread what we're doing is so important in comparison to what modern education is doing. And then I really love anything that Anthony Esalon reads. I find very easily accessible, you know, something that I can just sink my teeth into and be inspired by. Out of the Ashes, I've read that.
Yes. Yeah, I've read that a couple of times. It's kind of shocking. You know, you're like, he just said that. Can you do that? You know, he's just super bold.
Yeah, I love it. And his boldness kind of gives me confidence to be bold as well. And then, you know, just the lives of the saints. I love the other book I'm reading right now is Catherine of Siena by Sigrid Undset. And that's just getting to know our sisters and brothers in heaven who are fighting for us and praying for us and interceding for us. Mm. I don't think that can be discredited, because what we are engaged here upon earth is not something we can do alone. We have to always rely on those who have gone before us and paved the way. So I always like having a relationship with the saints, and Catherine of Siena is one of my favorites, especially in terms of leadership and boldness.
Again, we're here with Rosemary Vanderwill, principal of Lourdes Classical in Denver, Colorado.
Certainly. My pleasure. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share with friends and colleagues. Look forward to having you join us next week.